It was the mid-1700s when tax collectors were robbing the people of France of their money. And a group of men in Paris were one evening amusing themselves by telling stories of robbers. One of this company was François Marais Arouet, better known as Voltaire, the French Enlightenment writer, historian, philosopher, and one who was renowned for his attacks upon Christianity. After listening to some of the tales of those that sat around him, he spoke up. "I can tell a robber story better than any of yours." The whole company went quiet, waiting for the words which would fall from his lips. Clearing his throat, he began, "Once upon a time, there was a tax collector." Then he stopped. The others present called for him to continue. "Why do you stop? Go on. Let us hear the greatest story of this robber." Voltaire replied, "Do you not see that my statement about a tax collector implies the greatest robber story in history?" Friends, if this scenario had taken place in our Lord's day in Jericho, then those listening on would not have needed any explanation. For the tax collectors of that day were renowned for their greed and their love of money, their covetousness. Tonight I want to think for a few moments upon this story which we have recorded in Scripture, this encounter of this man by the name of Zacchaeus with the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want us to see firstly the eagerness of this man to see the Saviour. We are not told why Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. He was not like the beggar in the previous chapter which we read, who wished to be healed and, having heard of Christ, called out in faith that he should have mercy on him and do some miraculous work of healing. We may assume quite the opposite. Zacchaeus, as far as worldly matters were concerned, well, he had it made. He had need of nothing, as far as anyone could tell. And, as we read in our passage, he was of social importance and position. He was a chief amongst the publicans or tax collectors. And Scripture also records that this man was rich. The Greek word used here for rich is plousion. And it means that he was abounding in wealth or riches. The Holy Spirit has thought it worthy to record that he was rich. And that is perhaps because it was so unlikely that a rich man should follow so poor and despised a person as Jesus of Nazareth. And because it was an unusual thing during his personal ministry. Had the Lord not said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Friends, we're not told why Zacchaeus wanted to see Christ, other than what we read in verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. But we can assume that he came out of curiosity. He may have heard of this man who was drawing multitudes to himself wherever he went. He may have heard of the reports of people being healed. Even the news of this man making his way toward Jericho, who had just made a blind man to see. Or he may have seen the large crowd gathering in the streets as the Lord entered into the city. But we must also see his interest, and that he went to great lengths to see the Saviour that day. Again, we look to the words of verse 3. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." My friends, whatever Zacchaeus' reason was for seeing the Lord that day, he did not realize that the Holy Spirit was drawing him to a place where he would come face to face with the Lord of all glory. It was not just by accident or coincidence that he sought to see Jesus. And my friend, if you're here tonight and you're still out of Christ, you're still unsaved, then it is not by accident that you're found in God's house. But the Holy Spirit has saw fit to draw you under the sound of his word, to give you another opportunity to come face to face with the Christ of Calvary, the only Son of God who left the splendor of heaven, who humbled himself and took on the form of man, who became obedient unto death and went willingly to Calvary's cross to bleed and die for sinners like you and I. Can I ask you this evening, what brings you here? Oh yes, you may have been invited by someone. You may be here to please someone, perhaps a husband, a wife, a father or mother. Maybe it's the thing to do. You go to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. Yes, you tick the box. Yes, perhaps one day you'll say, I stand before God as my judge, and I will be able to say, I went Sunday morning, Sunday night to Annalong Free Presbyterian Church. My friends, whatever the reason is that you believe you're in God's house for this evening, it is because you've been drawn by the Holy Spirit. This morning, we thought about the end of all things. And friend, tonight, this may be your last time to meet with Jesus of Nazareth, as it even was with this man Zacchaeus as the Lord made his way towards Jerusalem. I wonder, friend, tonight, will you heed the call of the gospel? Or will you go out again rejecting Christ as your Lord and Savior? But I want to see also Zacchaeus' encounter with the Savior. I'm sure that Zacchaeus never imagined in his wildest dreams that this man, Jesus, would take notice of someone like him. We can almost picture his delight when the Lord approached and stopped below the tree in which he was perched. Oh, he longed for a glimpse of this man, and now here below him was the Lord Jesus Christ. This man of whom the whole countryside was talking about. This man who had done so many miracles, who had fed 5,000, who had healed the lame, gave sight to the blind. And here was the case, after all his efforts, looking down on this man. Oh, his effort has paid off. Oh, his vantage point was prime. But that was only the beginning. What of a surprise when the Lord Jesus Christ looked up into that tree and he addressed Zacchaeus by name. And friend, the Lord knew all about Zacchaeus, even though Zacchaeus knew little of him. And friend, tonight, likewise, the Lord knows about each one of us. Oh, he knows our end from our beginning. Oh, he knows our rising up and our sitting down. Friend, have you ever thought about that? You're rising up and you're sitting down. If I were to ask you now, how many times have you stood up or sat down this day? Well, you would have no idea. For it is just something that we do, day in, day out, over and over and over again. Yet the Lord knows all about us. And the Lord knew all about Zacchaeus, this man who came to see Jesus. But more than that, verse 10 of this passage tells us not only that Jesus knew all about Zacchaeus, but it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord came to this earth to seek sinners, those out of Christ with no hope nor refuge nigh, those on the mountain wild and bare, sinners like you and I, my friend. The Lord came to seek. The Lord, surely it was this case with this little man. For the Lord came to the place exactly where he was. Charles Spurgeon said, "Christ does not leave it to ourselves to seek him, or else it would be left indeed. For so vile is human nature that although heaven be offered, and although hell would thunder in our ears, yet there never was and there never will be any man who, unconstrained by sovereign grace, will run in the way of salvation and so escape from hell and flee to heaven." Friends, tonight, each one of us are born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And there is nothing in and of ourselves that we would desire to follow after Christ. But yet God and His goodness and His love and His mercy draws men and women to Calvary. The Lord had a purpose for coming to Him. We read in our passage that He wished to abide with Him. In verse 5, the Lord says unto Zacchaeus, "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." He wished to abide with him, that is to say, or to stay or to dwell with him. But this word "abide," although used here, gives us an idea of staying for a period of time. It is also used of an eternal abiding. If we were to turn over to John chapter 14, we would read these words: Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." That word "dwelleth" there is the same word as we have across here in verse 5 for "abideth." "But the Father dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, that he shall give you another Comforter, and that he may abide with you forever." As the Lord dwelleth in the Father, and the Father in him, then we see the Comforter, who the Lord Jesus Christ will send to each child of God to abide within us forever. We have this abiding, this eternal dwelling. In John chapter 15 and verse 4, we read the words, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye abide in me." Well, this was more than a request that the Lord was making just to come and visit in the house of Zacchaeus. But that day, he would abide with Zacchaeus for all of eternity. Friend tonight, dear unsafe friend, you too can know that eternal abiding of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life. The request of the Lord may have seemed to Zacchaeus as a temporal request, but we notice with the urgency that the urgency of this request made by the Lord. What does he say to Zacchaeus? "Make haste. Oh, Zacchaeus, you cannot hang about. Make haste. This is the appointed time. Not next week. Not next year. But now, Zacchaeus, make haste." We're reminded of the verse this morning back there in Genesis, where the Lord says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, we read those well-known words: "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Our life is as a vapor. I'm sure I do not need to remind anybody in this place here tonight of the brevity of life. And so the Lord says, as he did to Zacchaeus, to you, dear unsaved friend, make haste. Oh, make haste. Where the door of salvation may shut, and there you pass out into God's eternity, will you not make haste tonight? But I also want to see his acceptance of the Saviour. We see that Zacchaeus did not resist the invitation to the Son of God. Rather, he made haste. He followed the command of the Lord to the letter and T. He did not tell the Lord how he would see the scenario unfold or give him his thoughts on preparation for this abiding. He did not tell him that he must first go home and put things right by himself in preparation for this meeting. He simply obeyed the words of the Lord and he went home. And in verse 8 we see that this man stood before the Lord and all those who were gathered around, for we can just picture the crowd. The crowd was already coming with the Lord as he made his way into Jericho. And now he stands and he speaks to this man Zacchaeus. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down and make haste, for I must come to your house. We hear the gasps of the crowd. This man who was a sinner. This man who, in the eyes of the good-living Jews and Pharisees, was an outcast of society. And so would the crowd not have come as the Lord made his way to Zacchaeus' house. Oh, they would have come out of curiosity. Oh, they would have come to see what was going on. And so they come. And they follow and they come to the house of Zacchaeus. And they look on. We see that in verse 11. We didn't read it. But Jesus spoke to the crowd. And he took the opportunity to bring the parable of the 10 pounds to those that were gathered. And here we see in our passage Zacchaeus confessing his own unrighteousness before the Lord and promising. And realizing that this was the promised Messiah. My friend, Zacchaeus did not come with his own righteousness. He was not like the Pharisee who prayed in the temple. Oh, he did not tell the Lord of all the good things that he had done. Oh, he did not plead his cause before the Lord. My friend, you will not in eternity plead your cause before the Lord. Rather, Zacchaeus came and knowing his own sin, knowing his own righteousness, and realizing that he stood before the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and earth, the only Son of God, he confessed his sin. He repented and he believed on Christ for salvation that day. And we realized that this was the promised Messiah. The Lord had showed himself as the one who knew all the thoughts and intentions of his heart. The one who knew all about him. And so he turns in repentance and faith to Christ for forgiveness. The only one who could save him. And that day salvation came to that home and to the life of this man, Zacchaeus. It was the work. It was the result of that repentance and regenerating, or the new work of the Holy Spirit that brought this change in his life. Well, there are friends, there are those around our province today that would take the words of verse 8 and use them to justify salvation by works, saying that it was his change of heart, that it was his change of attitude. You know, he was going to do that which was right and that would be all right for him. And they'll tell you, friend, all you have to do is reform your life. Oh, do some good works. Live your best. Well, that will be enough to save you. Give to the poor, attend your church. Friends, we have all heard it. Sad to say, it is proclaimed across our land. My friends, it wasn't by some reformed lifestyle that Zacchaeus was saved. No, Scripture tells us that the Lord said unto him, today, this day, is salvation come to this house. Zacchaeus didn't go away and work out the Christian life. But Zacchaeus came and he put his trust in Christ that day. But we also see that as Zacchaeus put his trust in Christ, that he knew the assurance of sins forgiven. And we see his assurance from the Saviour. Well, friends, it does not give us much in Scripture about the whole conversation that went on between the Lord Jesus Christ and Zacchaeus over dinner. But I am sure that the Lord showed him the way of eternal life. Was that not his purpose for coming? Do we not know those well-known words in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then again, the Lord's words in verse 10 confirm that. That he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That day in Jericho, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sought out this little man in order to save him from his sin. As I've said, Zacchaeus was not saved by works. Otherwise the Lord would have told him to go out and to fulfill the promises of his confession. And if he was faithful to his word, well, he might get to heaven. No. Zacchaeus confessed his faith in Christ and received assurance of salvation from the lips of the Saviour that day. I wonder, dear unsaved friend, Christ is passing this way. The Holy Spirit is drawing you in under the sound of the gospel. That is the good news that Christ died on Calvary's cross to save men and women and boys and girls just like you and I. But it's not just enough, as we've said, that you go to church or that you go home intending to change your ways. I wonder, is the Spirit striving with you this evening? You know you need Christ in your life. You know that one day, that if you do not trust him, then you will go out into a lost sinner's hell. And yet you put it off again and again and again. It was not enough for Zacchaeus just to see the Saviour that day in Jericho. It was not enough that Jesus spoke with him and he with Jesus. It was not enough that the Lord told him that he must come and abide with him. Oh yes, I'm sure Zacchaeus believed all these things. But it was not enough. Zacchaeus, like you, dear friend, tonight, had to be brought to a point where he realized that he was a sinner in the sight of a holy and a just God. The Christ was to be sent to be the only sacrifice for sin. Even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I wonder, will you come to Calvary tonight? I was involved some time ago with outreach with the church in Cookstown as they prepared for a gospel mission. On the doors, the most alarming response that we got as we invited men and women and asked them if they were saved, if they were going to heaven, was, "I hope so." I wonder if I was to ask you as you go out this evening, are you going to heaven? Would your response be, "I hope so"? Tonight, friend, like Zacchaeus, like the woman at the well, like the dying thief and others, you can know so. You can know that Christ has saved you from your sin. That moment he knew that he was saved. He didn't have to go away and work at it. Oh, you may say, "Preacher, what would people think? What would people think if I were to go into work tomorrow morning and tell them that I had trusted Christ as my Saviour? Oh, what would my friends say to me? What would they say? What would they think if I told them that I had got saved? Oh, they would laugh at me. Oh, they would make fun of me. Preacher, I'd be all right. I'm sure the people wondered and laughed at this little man running through the streets, then climbing up like a tree, like an excited child. Can you just picture it? As I studied this, I thought, Scripture tells us that he's a little man. It tells us that he's rich. It tells us that he had stature in society. And friend, can you just picture it? This short, well-fed man. And he's racing through the streets like a child. And the whole crowd's turning round. And they're saying, would you look at Zacchaeus? Would you look at Zacchaeus? Look at the set of him running down the streets. What does he think he's at? Oh yes, they would have laughed. They would have scorned. They would have mocked. But Zacchaeus desired to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, regardless of all that went on round about, this man met with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved him for all eternity. I'm sure there was some of them said, oh, you know, it'll never last. It'll never last. And perhaps you say, preacher, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't keep it. That's right, friend. You can't keep it. You can't keep it on your own strength. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised that he will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to help you and guide you and direct you. It is not by your own strength that any believer is here tonight, but only by the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this man despised of those around him, his life became changed forever. Oh yes, they despised Zacchaeus, but you know they despised the Holy Son of God so much more, for they took him and they crucified him to the cross. And that is still the same in our society today. Those who know not Christ will mock and reject our Lord. They will use his name in vain. And yes, they will mock the believer. But Zacchaeus overcome the challenges to see the Savior despite of what the onlookers thought. Oh friend, tonight, put aside all your own ambitions, your anxieties, your fears, and see Christ as he passes by. The publican and sinner met with the Savior, and that day he became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Friend, tonight, perhaps you're here, and you're sitting, and you're saying, well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved. Let me ask you, are you like the Pharisee, the painted sepulchre? Oh, all looks all right on the outside and you're doing your best, but you know in your heart that you're not saved. The Scripture speaks of the Pharisees, and they were those that looked on and despised Zacchaeus. I wonder, have you examined your heart? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you a new creature in Christ? Have old things passed away? To those around you, say he's different or she's different by the way they talk, by the way they do business. And does your life reflect the work of God's grace?